let's now focus on the employment issues faced by performing artists. In many ways, the pressures on actors, dancers and other performers are unique. But in some ways, the challenges they currently face might offer a glimpse into what could be the future for a large slice of the workforce. Sally Ann Upton is an actor and president of the Victorian Actors Benevolent Trust, a charity that assists those who fall on tough times. Mark Williams is an intellectual property and entertainment lawyer, and he's the author of a new report called Falling Through the Gaps: Our Artists' Health and Welfare. He says despite the high hourly rate, pay and conditions aren't good, and the consequences can be profound on both physical and mental health.
Even though the award rates for employment are rising, the number of weeks that people are employed seems to be falling. And with cost pressures, the amount that someone's expected to do for the same fee, even if it's a negotiated fee, seems to be rising as well. So there's a number of different pressures, even though some numbers seem to be holding up.
And generally speaking, would you say that they have a good living and their health is good?
No. It's very clear from the studies that have been commissioned recently that the health outcomes are particularly poor. There aren't good life expectancy figures, I've got to tell you that. I did some numbers, and the numbers, which was only a 10-year set, is that actors or people in the theatrical profession have a life expectancy of around about 74, that was the mean, where life expectancy at 20 now for Australian population is around about 89 for women, about 85 for men.
Now, Sally Ann Upton, if I can bring you in here, there's a perception that established high-profile actors do pretty well.
Yes, that is a perception. I'm on Wentworth, which has been a very successful show. A TV show. It is on Foxtel now. It's on fantastically on the ABC. And that's in 80 countries across the world. And from that, I've been asked to go over to England and meet fans all around the world. And the first thing they ask you, which I always find this astounding as a performer, is that people will come up to you in the street and ask you how much you earn. Fans would say, oh, you're on a good wicket and stuff like that. And I said, well, this last season, yes, I was throughout the whole of the season of Wentworth, but I was only employed for 15 days.
So you're in the studios filming for 15 days.
On a daily rate.
And that footage is then interspersed throughout the entire series.
That's right. So, but in their eyes, I am on telly, so therefore I'm like Tom Cruise. But there's only 3% that are in the Tom Cruise, what we call the 3% level.
So you might be well paid for the day that you're there, but if you average it out over a year, you're not well paid.
No, the average wage of what we class as a normal working performer, whether you're a comedian, an actress, an actor or whatever, is anywhere from $13,000 to $30,000. If you make $30,000 a year just doing that, then you've done a good year. So our super isn't at the level as what we call your average working person. We're intermittent. And a lot of people, if you're just doing a one dayer, won't pay you super, or you've got to chase it up. And also, we don't have sick leave or sick pay or anything like that. And that's where the VABT kicks in. So we help out, and we help out in many different ways. And it's not just for older actors.
In what ways do you help out?
Well, anything that comes through the VABT is confidential, but there are a couple of people that we've helped that allow us to tell their story. There was a wonderful woman in South Australia, Amanda Phillips, in her early 30s, 5 years ago. She rang us and said, look, I've just been given this terrible news. I've got this cancer and it's very rare, and I've been given 3 months to live, and she had young children. But the doctor said there's a trial coming up, but I've got to find all this money by Friday. So I rang around the Benevolent Trusts of Australia and we raised that money, and I just said, we've got it for you, go for it. And I got a text from her about 4 months ago saying, I'm still alive. And so what a great outcome for us there.
Now, Mark Williams, I'm really interested in your paper. You talk about the way our Centrelink or social security system doesn't really fit into the work patterns of professionals in the performing arts.
No, I mean, there is a great pressure within the Australian political system to get those unemployment numbers down and the employment figures up. However, if they're unemployed, they want to get people off those unemployment numbers as quickly as possible as well. So if you're on unemployment benefit for 6 months and you want to continue, you've got to move on to a retraining scheme. You actually cannot stay in your chosen profession. And of course, there are actors who have periods of unemployment. They'll try and do all the other things that they try to do. But it's chronic unemployment or underemployment is part and parcel of the industry.
So you're saying that the welfare payments that we have, the DOL and or the other benefits that we have, don't necessarily take into account the particular nature of the industry?
Oh, it definitely doesn't. I've witnessed it firsthand. I've made Mark laugh at my experiences with the Centrelink, and now I will do anything than go in there. I will struggle like I have for the first half of this year, then go in there and have to go through that system.
And there's also issues around tax as well.
Yeah, tax is really difficult because we have to take on other jobs. Like I am an actress, I am an actor. I am also a RN Division 2 nurse, so I'll go behind camera and that's what I'm doing tomorrow. I'm a unit nurse working with children check, looking after kids on set. I'm also a married celebrant and a funeral celebrant. So on Monday, I'm doing a funeral. I will volunteer for the VABT. So I've got all these different things. So the tax for us is quite tricky.
Now, okay, so we've got things like tax, we've got superannuation, we've got social security. A lot of people listening to this conversation will be thinking, oh, these people, they have the satisfaction that comes from a career in the arts, the joy, creative satisfaction. That's their choice. We can't subsidise this group.
Well, what are they watching every night on television? What do they like? A very famous lady said on the Oscars one time, I remember, the heart and soul of any country depends on how its artists are treated.
But what are you calling for? Are you calling for some kind of handout or special benefits or rejigging of the welfare system or of the tax system?
I think as far as Centrelink and the social welfare system, I agree with most of the population, whether you're in the arts or not. It needs to be defunct and start over again because it's on this archaic floating system that doesn't work on a lot of levels for a lot of people.
I think it gets back to this distinction between employment and unemployment and self-employment.
True.
The actor, a lot of people in the gig economy, train and then they are out on their own. The capital that goes into training an actor, a dancer or a singer is sweat equity, as the Americans sometimes call it. You know, you have been working since the age of 4 or the age of 7 to perfect your craft. You have put that half a million, a million or whatever of wages foregone into yourself. So how do you get that investment back out again, or are there other ways of doing it? I've explored in the paper ideas that have come up over the years, including a copyright style right for performers, so that if a performance or a recording really kicks, they get paid extra royalties further down the track. Heaven knows other people are earning money from that performance. Other things that have been explored and are quite common in Europe and Eastern Europe in particular are status of the artist legislation, so that there is a safety net put under people who are, you know, card-carrying artists who've put that capital into making their careers, and the state has an interest, or we in general have an interest. What I suppose is difficult to say because you can't name names is that a number of people you will see on our screens who are household names are more than struggling. They will have shorter life expectancy. They will have more disease and poor quality of life compared to the rest of the Australian population.
You mentioned the gig economy. Are you suggesting that maybe performing artists are the canaries in the coal mine, and as the workforce is changing, we're going to have these sorts of conversations about more and more people in the workforce?
Absolutely.
So there's this pressure, but who's going to pay?
I think it's all of us. And that includes the industry itself, and this is why these vestigial funds like the Actors Benevolent Funds have always existed, because artists themselves contribute to these things. Likewise, social security system and or the arts system needs to think a little bit more about career structures. We've certainly got to think about this in our training of artists, and there's some spectacularly good examples of it abroad and here. People for whom the industry has been very kind will step up and probably now need more than ever to step up.
I would like to be able to have space to write a one-woman show and not have to do a lot of all the stuff to keep it going.
But what do you say to people who say, wow, lucky them?
They're but they looking think for a it's handout. Lucky. People say, oh, it's so glamorous. When you're touring, I toured for 2.5 years on Mary Poppins, and it was very hard work. I mean, say you work 10 shows a week, four of that in a weekend, in 48 hours, we do four shows. We're away from our loved ones. It took me a whole year of being on Mary Poppins with a full wage to pay all of my debts for the last 10 years.
Yes, that sounds really bad, but I'm sure there are people who are working as cleaners and in convenience stores and people in the tech industry on short-term contracts or a whole bunch of other industries. Yeah. Is this an issue around gig-based short-term employment?
Well, I think you're bringing up a really good thing because the working person now has an idea of what it's like to not have permanency in their work. And this has only happened over the last 10 or 15 years where that's fallen away for the normal working class person. And we as performers, when it all started, and they're going, I don't have security in my job anymore, we go, hello, welcome to our world. We've never had security in our job.
Sally-Ann Upton and Mark Williams, thank you both for speaking to the Law Report.
Thank you.